Okay, so let's review. This is our last four classes. 2 weeks from now, we're going to start a series. We have one more women's devotional, and then I think two more all-church devotionals. We're going to just do some practical topics. Okay, got it? So this is the last class in the series on Galatians. Let me do some quick review. All right, first of all, we saw that there's an existential crisis in the church, arguably the first one in the young church, and it's over the question of Judaizing, law versus faith, and these sorts of things. And in case there was any doubt that this is an existential crisis, Paul said regarding these Judaizers in Galatians 1:8, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than the one you accepted, let them be eternally condemned. So this issue, which I believe was a particularly acute issue for them in that time, but I believe it is also an issue for us. This is relevant even to our salvation. And then just kind of define the issue. We saw in Galatians 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard?" That's an easy question, isn't it? "Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" And so as you probably remember, certain Christians were going around demanding that disciples obey certain aspects of the law. Basically, what they were saying is being religious, a certain religious practice, is necessary to salvation. And Paul is reacting very, very strongly against that. Because if we're living by law, by rule, by obligation, then we're not living by faith. And therefore, we're not living by grace, and we're not living by the Spirit. So Paul really rebukes that idea. And like I said, the flesh desires works salvation. It doesn't seem logical. Logically, we think the flesh desires anything goes, do whatever you want, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But in a religious sense, our flesh says we need to earn our salvation by what we do. One way I know that is look at every world religion. Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, all world religions are religions of us moving towards God, of us lifting ourselves up by the bootstraps. So that tells me that fleshly religion is about our saving ourselves, our doing things, our earning a place with God. So although it's maybe counterintuitive to think that we'd be attracted to legalistic rules following Christianity, it's true. All right, and hopefully somebody's going to get that phone right away. Okay, great. And then Galatians 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue." Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. So he says, if you're going to try to live according to the law, according to Leviticus 18:1, those who do these things will live by them, then you're no longer living by faith. But he tells us in Galatians 3, as he said in Romans 4 and Romans 1, those who through faith are righteous shall live. Salvation is by faith, not by works. Like I said, the theme of Galatians is a living through the law or living through the Spirit. But in the first three chapters of Galatians, it's more like living by faith versus living by law. And then the second half, he emphasizes more living by the Spirit than living by the law. So he's sort of making interchangeable the idea of salvation by faith and living by the Spirit. And those two things are interchangeable in Galatians to some extent. And those are being opposed to living according to law, according to obligation. Okay, got it? That's the idea. And Paul says, those who are trying to earn their salvation through law keeping, through, for example, being circumcised or other things, not our issues, but we have our issues, those people are under a curse. And then we saw last week, Paul used the metaphor, the analogy of Ishmael versus Isaac, Hagar versus Sarah. Ishmael and Isaac represented the Judaism, the idea of law, the idea of salvation through effort. But he says that that is slavery. He says those who are children of slaves are slaves. And Ishmael, who was the child of Hagar, who was a slave, therefore Ishmael was a slave. He says that's not us. We are the children of Sarah. We are the children of promise. We are the children of faith. We are spiritually Isaac. And let's read Galatians 4:31. We summarize this idea, this sort of analogy to help us understand the proper view of salvation. Galatians 3, the very last verse there, after he talks about Isaac and Ishmael, Sarah and Hagar. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And, you know, Abraham believed God's promises and was credited to him as righteousness, not because of anything he did. In fact, like Paul says in Romans, he was saved before, figuratively, he was saved even before he was circumcised. So we are children of the free woman. All right. Okay. Why is my PowerPoint not forwarding? Yeah. Grass. Okay. It's going to take me a few seconds. I've got to undo this. Sorry about this. Don't know why it does this occasionally. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Let's see here. I had this problem earlier tonight. Okay, we go back to Zoom. We make it full screen. Share screen. Sorry about that, folks. This is a little bit frustrating, but I really do want to have the PowerPoint available. Okay. Yes, very good. Okay, so now we're in Galatians chapter 4. Let me read Galatians 4, verse 1, which is kind of a transition passage. Galatians 5, verse 1. Oh, yeah, Galatians 4, 31. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but we are children of the free woman. We are children of Sarah. Chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. So he's summarizing what we've had so far, and he says, we have been set free from slavery to law, slavery to obligation, slavery to have to Christianity. So he concludes, the only thing that matters, Galatians 5, 6, is faith expressing itself through love. And we asked ourselves at the end of last lesson, what are you doing, not because you have to, not because you need to, what are you doing simply because you love God, simply because you want to? And there's tremendous freedom in serving God, not in order to be saved, but because we're saved. You know, in Titus it says, grace motivates us. And I hope that's the way you live your Christian life. So Galatians 5, 5 and 6, kind of like our theme verse. What are you doing because you love God? The freedom we have comes through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. So in Galatians 5:1, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it's the Holy Spirit living in us. That is what makes us free. Certainly not our wonderful, awesome selves. In Ezekiel 36, verse 27, where Ezekiel, God says to Ezekiel, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. In other words, the Holy Spirit, as we get in step with the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, we'll see in Galatians 5, that is the means by which God is hoping we will become obedient and will be careful to obey his laws. So the freedom we have and the transition, the transformation it makes in us, it all comes from the Holy Spirit living in us. All right, so let's start our text, if you will, for the week. Galatians 5, let's read verse 13 through 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So we have an incredible freedom. That doesn't mean everything goes. It's not like we have no rules. We have rules in Christianity. And don't anybody say that we don't. But nevertheless, most of the positive things we put our energy into, these are based on freedom. And we don't have to do these things in order to be saved. But the question is this, what is the proper use of our freedom? Like I said last week, freedom is a wonderful thing. Because when we do things, not because we have to, when we pour our life, our energy into doing something for God by our choice, and we see the fruit of that, that is incredibly, tremendously fulfilling and satisfying. So what is the proper use of our freedom? Well, one thing for sure is not to indulge the sinful nature. Okay, as a fellowship of Christians, we don't have as strong an oversight authority, if you will, of discipling as we had in the past. And we've really allowed for a little bit more personal freedom in our relationships with one another. But the question is, what have you done with that freedom? Have you used it as an opportunity to indulge sin? That is not what God gave you freedom for. What did he give you freedom for? It says right here. The thing God wants us to use our freedom to do is to serve one another humbly in love. Essentially, what God wants us to do is he wants us to make ourselves slaves of one another. This word serve is the word doulos, which could also mean slave. So basically what God, it's kind of ironic. The way God set this whole system up is, he gave us freedom, but what does he want us to do with our freedom? He wants us to make ourselves a slave of one another, but voluntary slaves, serving one another because we choose to. There's a bit of irony here. Paul says we're no longer slaves. That's Galatians 4, 21 through 31. But then he asks us to choose of our own free will to make ourselves slaves of one another. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? Right? And Philippians, he says, consider others better than yourselves. So what's it like to be a voluntary slave? It means, how can I serve you? How can I support what you're trying to do? How can I put myself at your service? And this is so much better than serving somebody because you have to. You know, if you do what your spouse is asking to do because you feel obligated, that feels like slavery. How about if you do what your spouse wants you to do because you love them and you want to serve them? How about one another? See, God's goal is that we use our freedom essentially to make ourselves voluntary slaves of one another. Voluntarily giving ourselves I believe, is ironically a very freeing thing. Because if you are serving because you want to, that means other people don't have control over you. Right? You're doing it voluntarily. All right, let's get to the next passage here. We got a lot of stuff to cover. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So again, he's contrasting living by the Spirit versus living by the law. And interestingly, he's equating to living by the law to living by the flesh. That's interesting, because the law is good and the flesh is bad. It's true, the law is good, but seeking our salvation through law, that's what our flesh desires. Got it? I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right, so he tells us two things. He tells us to walk by the Spirit, and he tells us to be led by the Spirit. Now, because of, you know, charismatic and all this, you know, crazy sort of, you know, God told me to do it sort of stuff, and, you know, Holy Spirit told me this, I'm a little bit hesitant to say this, walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. But it's in the Bible. And interestingly, you would think the way to overcome sin is by trying harder to stop sinning. That's what you would think. And maybe you've been given that advice. Brother, sister, you need to try harder. You need to pray more. You need to, you know, do these things. And those things are not hurtful. In fact, they're probably helpful. But ultimately, the secret to overcoming the flesh is living by the Holy Spirit. That's what it says here. So he talks about walking by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. You would think the opposite of living by the Spirit would be living by sin. Well, it's living by the flesh, which is essentially the same thing, or living by law. So what does it mean to walk by the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to be led by the Holy Spirit? That's kind of a hard question. How's that work? Do we listen to voices in our head? Are we kind of going schizo on us or something like that? Well, let me give you a few ideas. Let's say you're watching a suggestive movie and you get this thought in your head, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be watching this movie. You think that might be the Holy Spirit leading you? You think that's possible? I think it's possible. All right. Let's say you're serving the veterans. You're doing things for the Unicorn Gardens. You're serving at the Hope Dance Academy. You're putting baskets together for our turkey basket event. And that's one of the announcements I forgot tonight. Within the next week or so, Nora's going to give us instructions. Remember last year, we're going to do the turkey basket thing again. If you're doing those things, do you think it's likely that you're walking by the Spirit as you're doing those things? I say yes. If you're living a lie, if you have hidden sin that you haven't confessed, does that mean you're being led by the Holy Spirit? I say no. The Holy Spirit would never lead you to cover up sin and to live a lie. The Holy Spirit would never lead you to do that. All right? Suddenly you think, you know what? I need to call Sister X and encourage her. Do you think that that might be the Holy Spirit leading you? I think so. So I think as we're trying to grow into this idea of being responsive to what the Holy Spirit is trying to say or do, to walk the way the Spirit is trying to direct us, to be led where he's trying to take us, to say the things he's trying to get us to say, to not say the things he's trying to get us to not say. I think we have to train ourselves to be sensitive to how this works. Exactly what that means, honestly, I don't know. But let me use those examples. Is the Holy Spirit going to, for example, tell you to watch that suggestive movie? I don't think so. That's not where that's coming from. Now, let's read the most famous part of Galatians that most of us have read a lot. And I believe we look at the wrong part of this a little bit, okay? Galatians 5, 19 through 25. By the way, notice this. Walk by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. He leads the section with that, and he's going to follow this section with a similar thing. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And by the way, he's equating living like this with living according to law, which seems contradictory. But if you understand what Paul's talking about, you'll find that those are actually connected in ways that are obvious. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. All right? So, here's the question. How do we overcome the flesh? The answer is not by hard work, not by deep concentration. All right? We overcome the flesh by living by the Spirit. So when we look at Galatians 5, we say it's talking about all those sins and then also about the gifts of the Spirit. But no, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit and saying doing these things, allowing the Spirit to help us to grow in these areas, that is the antidote to living by the flesh. It's not effort. It's not. It's living by the Spirit. All right? So the solution to acts of the flesh is not trying harder and to create as many rules as possible. A lot of us like to create rules as kind of like a fence to protect our righteousness. We have dating guidelines and we have rules about how much you should pray and how much you should read the Bible. And I'm not saying those things are bad necessarily. I happen to support those guidelines as long as they're guidelines. And I think especially for young Christians, having goals for Bible study and prayer, that's probably a good thing. But that's not going to create righteousness. Those good spiritual habits, they're connected, but they're not the source. The source is the Holy Spirit. These hedges around proper behavior have some value, but their value is limited. So if you're struggling with impurity, how about let's look at the fruits of the Spirit. You're struggling with impurity. How about going for growing in self-control? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. All right. Let's say you're holding on to resentment. You're struggling with resentment. Well, let's walk by the Spirit. If we walk by the Spirit, then it says it's going to produce more patience or forbearance. Let's say you're struggling with fits of rage. You could, you know, confess it, which is a good idea. The Bible says to do that. That's good. It's helpful. But I say let's grow in the fruit of the Spirit, which in this case would be gentleness. So we talk to the Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, help me in my gentleness. All right? And then he says, if we belong to Christ, then the flesh has been crucified. So I have a nice question for you. Do you belong to Christ? Well, if you belong to Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he is your most useful resource in putting to death the flesh. Got it? And so in verse 25 and 26, remember, in verse 16, he said, walk by the Spirit. In verse 18, he says, be led by the Spirit. Let's reread Galatians 5, 25, and verse 25. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here's our advice for the night. It's the kind of advice that I, as a, you know, Church of Christ person who was raised to somewhat minimize the role of Holy Spirit in our lives, that's kind of the background I had growing up in the church, honestly, is the way to overcome sin, the way to live according to the Spirit, not according to the law, the way to have a transformed life is to, number one, walk by the Spirit, number two, be led by the Spirit, number three, live by the Spirit, and number two, keep in step with the Spirit. I think walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, that's probably almost the same thing. So whether I need to give you four different things there, I don't know. So what is the point of this emphasis of the Holy Spirit? See, that's what Galatians is about. Living by the Holy Spirit versus living by the law. Let's go back to chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18 says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And then chapter 5, verse 16, he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So not satisfying the desires of the flesh and not being under the law. Not an obvious logical connection, but I want you to think about that. Contemplate it. Write that down in your notes. How is living according to rules and obligation the same as living according to the flesh? But both of those are solved by walking by the Spirit, by being led by the Spirit, and by living by the Holy Spirit. Here's a summary. Paul's point is this. Listening to the Holy Spirit is more likely to lead to personal righteousness than living by religion, by obligation, by ceremony, by rules. Those rules are not wrong, they're not bad, but they're not the source of righteous behavior. Got it? Now we have one more chapter to go, and I only have about 10 minutes, but that's okay. I don't mind spending less time in Galatians 6, because really I could practically just outline Galatians 6. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And what he's talking about is practical living in the Spirit. So the theme of Galatians is living by the Holy Spirit versus living by law. But what is the practical outworking in our lives? What does it mean in a practical way in the community of Christianity to live according to the Spirit as opposed to living according to law? Well, one thing you can remember is let us serve one another in love. We already had that practical. Let's read Galatians 6, 1 through 6. So the pattern in Paul's letters is theology, practical application. Theology is the majority of Galatians. It's all of the first four chapters and a lot of the fifth chapter. And then Galatians 6 is kind of the practical application. Paul always connects his practicals with the theology. It's a good thing for you to remember. When you're teaching people practical Christianity, always try to remember to connect it to who God is. Got that, folks? When you're trying to teach a young Christian or even, you know, have a discipling amongst one another, you're trying to help each other to be more righteous, to have correct behavior. Do try to remember what Paul did. He always connects it back to theology, to the nature of God. All right? All right. Galatians 6, 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are somehow something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each of you should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. All right. So he's giving some practical advice. He's saying, you know, if there's somebody who's getting in trouble, and by the way, just, you know, in our small little church, we've been less connected, honestly, than we have been over historical time. And there are a few in our church right now who are struggling with sin pretty significantly. It's just the truth, right? There's been some drinking going on. There's been some things related to even a sexual nature that have happened. Okay? And so you, as a faithful disciple, might be involved in helping to helping somebody who's been caught up in sin. Who should do that? It's the people who are living according to the Spirit. People who are living according to the Spirit, they're the ones who can help those who are getting caught up in sin. So what does living by the Spirit have to do with who should be restoring somebody who's doing poorly in Christ? Well, first of all, that person who's living by the Spirit is more likely to notice it. Because sometimes, you know, you just get that intuition. If you have that intuition, brother or sister, ask that question. Let me say it again. If you have that intuition, I need to ask this question. Let me suggest what you should do. Ask that question. But do it gently. Right? Gently. Don't start accusing. And hopefully what we can do is ask some questions so that they're given the opportunity to be open rather than, you know, laying it out there. All right? So one of the reasons that those who are living according to the Spirit are the ones who can help somebody who are caught up in sin is because they're likely to be the one to notice it. But also, they will have those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the qualities that are necessary to help somebody who's caught up in sin. But if somebody's caught up in sin, he says, be careful. You be careful. And 1 Corinthians 6:10, it says, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. So what do we need to do? Well, let's take his advice. He says, we need to bear each other's burdens. So I'm telling you, if you're going to help somebody who's caught up in sin, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be bearing some burdens. It's hard work. You know what's interesting in this passage is in verse 2 it says, carry each other's burdens. And then in verse 4 it says, each one should carry their own burden. Verse 5. See, verse 2 he says, carry each other's burdens. And then in verse 5 it says, each one should carry their own load. Which is it, Paul? We should each carry our own load? Or we should carry each other's load? Well, the Greek words will help you out here. The word burden in Galatians 6, verse 2, is a massive load. A burden, then, is a load that one person simply can't carry. And if your brother or sister is carrying a load they can't carry, then you need to get in there and help them. You know, we're trying to help Jose Espinosa. By the way, I forgot Jose. At the end, I need to do a quick prayer for Jose. Forgot the prayer request for Jose. But Jose is a person who right now he cannot carry those things. So if there's a brother or sister as a burden, something that they can't reasonably carry by themselves, we need to start carrying each other's burdens. Who should be doing that? Those who are walking by the Spirit. And actually in verse 5, where it says each one should carry his own load, in the Greek word there is fortion, which is like a backpack. So what that means is, you know, most of your stuff, you need to carry your stuff. As mature Christians, 95% of the time, bottom line is, you got some stuff, you take care of your stuff. You know what I'm saying? But even a mature Christian, something's going to happen, whether it's this month, next year, or 10 years from now. Something's going to happen, and suddenly God is going to allow a load to fall on you. That's why we're a community. See, we are walking by the Spirit, not just as individuals. As a church, we are walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, listening to the Spirit as a body together. That's why we need to carry each other's burdens. This is a great practical message. Getting on? All right. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Oh, by the way, Galatians 6, 6, it says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Or, well, there you go. All right. Right now, I'm giving you instruction in the word. So what should you do? You should share all good things with me. So if you want a bank account number, I'll give it to you. And okay, just kidding. Let's go on to chapter 6, verse 7. That was a joke, folks. That's just a joke. All right. Hopefully you're laughing. Oh, what happened to my power? There we go. Let's get real. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You know, just in case somebody's going to accuse Paul of being all grace and no works, Paul is, and he's saying, we need to work. You know, we need to work. Do you think Paul ever felt weary? You bet he did. Has anybody ever felt weary in doing good? Some of us, not really. Not really. We become weary in work or in earning money and you know, whatever. I'm not saying that's bad necessarily. But for some of us, we are pouring our lives out to serve, and we get tired. What's Paul's advice? Basically, his advice is just keep doing it anyway, by faith, because he says you will reap a harvest. You know, we reap what we sow, and I'm sowing to the Spirit. It's hard work, folks. It just is. Because it involves serving other people. And you gotta carry your backpack and serve other people. It's going to make you tired. But Paul assures us, let us not become weary in doing good. Will we ever feel weary? Yeah, but let's just keep doing good. Does that mean you can never rest? That's not what it means. Does that mean you can't take a vacation? Yes, you can take a vacation. But let's listen to Paul's advice. Do not become weary in doing good. Why? Because you will reap a harvest in due time. When will that harvest come? I don't know. For Noah, it was 100 years. I don't know what it will be for you. He says, and let's do good, especially to those who are part of the family of God. You know, we need to serve our community. We will be serving our community. We do so in many ways. But the Bible says, give priority to those in the kingdom. But also, not like under Islam, where when you're, you know, that's all you do, help those outside. But especially if you see needs in the church, you jump on that thing. Amen? All right, basically, we're done. I'll read the last few verses, but Paul's just recapitulating what he already said. See what large letters I'm writing to you. So he's done with the letter. He's just kind of writing a postscript. He's kind of like, restating in his own words, you know, I like to think, hey, give me that pen. Give me that pen, scribe. All right, great. Let me sign it. Oh, and by the way, being Paul, you know, just restates it. So let me read it anyway. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision. Those people who put out all the rules, they don't even follow their own rules. So let's just bag the rules, not bag the rules as in don't follow, but don't live according to them. Find your satisfaction in freedom in Christ. Amen. May never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. What counts is the new creation. I thought what counts is faith expressing itself in love. What counts is a new creation. But the new creation has faith expressing itself in love. Peace and mercy to all follow this rule to Israel God. So that ends our letter. And by the way, I do want to mention, because I forgot at the beginning, and then we can go off and have our discussions, is we do have some special requests for Jose. It's hard. I hope Jose's with us tonight. I asked him to come. Hopefully he is. He got the news just today that his sister-in-law has stomach cancer. And he's very close to his sister-in-law. This is his wife who died recently. She just found out today she has stomach cancer. Not only that, just today, Jose found out that he's getting kicked out of where he lives at the end of the month. This is the house he's lived at with his wife for 12 years. He's being evicted out of his own house. Not only that, but he comes from Nicaragua. His family's from Nicaragua. And I don't know if you heard about Hurricane Eta, but Hurricane Eta, class 4 hurricane, it hit Nicaragua just yesterday. We're so caught up in the election, we didn't even notice. There are thousands homeless, and his family is in a destitute situation. So please pray for Jose's family there in Nicaragua. And he wants to send them some money, and you can imagine he has $0. Now, we don't need everybody giving Jose money, but if you're close to Jose and want to give him a few dollars so he can send something to his relatives in Nicaragua, that'd be great. Or you could give something to Nora. She could take care of that. Okay. Let's end by praying about living by the Spirit and also praying about Jose's really tough situation. Thank you, God, for our class tonight. It's kind of hard for me to just talk into a microphone. I know my brothers and sisters are out there. I pray that we feel connected to one another. It's hard being connected by Zoom. And God, honestly, our prayer is that you bring this pandemic to some sort of an end as soon as possible. But we know that's not going to happen. Just today, the United States had a record high of cases again. God, please, please hear our cry. Hear our prayer. Father, I pray you be with our country in this time of potential turmoil. I believe the hearts of almost all Americans are that we believe in our democratic system. We're thankful for our democratic system. I believe in part your hand was there in creating that system. God, I pray we trust that and not go for charges and countercharges, and especially as a body of believers who have people on either side of the political spectrum. God, help us to respect one another and listen to one another and really trust the government system in this case. God, especially I want to pray for Jose. I pray you be with his sister-in-law and her family, God, in the grief and suffering that's to come. God, I pray you find a place for Jose to live soon. And if we can help him to find a place, maybe one of us has some ideas or that we would do that. And God, be with his family there. Be with the tens or even hundreds of thousands in Nicaragua now who are suffering extreme loss because of the devastation of flooding and wind, God. We're sad about that. We help us to feel for those people. Help us to not have a sort of overtired compassion. God, be with our church this week. Help us. Like I said, there are a number of us who are struggling with sin more than maybe average. God, help those who are in that situation to be open. I believe you have so much grace, God. And that we as a body, we're not going to judge people on that kind of stuff. Not at all. We just want to be like that father who welcomed the prodigal son. Father, help us to be
a loving, supportive, caring, remember mercy before sacrifice kind of church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, anyway, if you're in a group, if you can have a brief discussion before you go to the Zoom, I assume Monroe will put up the address for the Zoom. It's my Zoom. Let's maybe talk about what it means to you to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, and to be led by the Spirit. Thanks, everybody, for putting up with this class on Galatians. I hope it was instructive. Hopefully I didn't get too, into the weeds in this. Thanks for being together tonight. And thanks for letting me go just a little bit long tonight. Love you a lot. See you on Sunday.